We have a little smaller number in the evening, like most congregations. I think that, from my experience, I believe that State Street does very well. We've got some that just are not strong enough to come Sunday evening. And sometimes you wonder how they get here on Sunday morning. So we're glad for your presence, and we have some visitors. We're always thankful for that. Hope and pray you will come back and be with us, worship with us. If you have questions on the Bible, maybe about the church or salvation or Christ, whatever question you have, feel free to ask. And we'll be glad to study the Bible with you and to see what it says. This evening, we're going to call our lesson, Looking for Something Good. My grandchildren, if they were here, would know that that's a saying that I have, but it's based on the Bible. Looking for something good. If you think about it, there's something that I don't know that any scientist can explain. It's called rationalization. You've heard about that, how we rationalize. So you could lose your wallet. Maybe you've got some money in there and cards and everything. But you kind of rationalize. Where'd that come from? You say, well, could have been worse, right? Your car gets all destroyed. Well, that could have been worse. A tornado takes your house. Say, well, we're here. We can talk about it. Where'd that come from? And it's something that every one of us has. I'm not saying that's the only evidence, but we know that God wants us to be optimistic. We've studied two other lessons under this title of optimism, but we're going to say tonight that to try to be as positive as possible. When you lose a loved one, you're going to have sorrow, are you not? There's nothing wrong with that. You're going to have sorrow when you lose a loved one. Matter of fact, I know that so many in this congregation, I guess almost everyone, you've lost loved ones. You've lost maybe a father, mother, maybe a child, brothers and sisters and good friends. We've lost so many brethren since we have been with you for about 25 years. And you think about them and you reflect upon it. But regardless of the trouble that comes and the whole world that we're living in, we see the difficulties every day, do we not? If you have a television or a radio, most everybody now has a television. But if you have a television, you turn it on, watch the news, a lot of bad things on there, aren't there? And we don't know the half of it. No telling what goes on in this old wicked world. It's just so discouraging at times. But in spite of that, the Bible would teach us to look to God, to try to be as positive as we possibly can. I think Brother Tom made an excellent statement. All of his prayer was very helpful. Prayers really help us, don't they? They help us. We're praying for other people, but they help us. He said in the prayer that, ask God to help us to live life to its fullest. That's what we want to do, isn't it? I hate to say this, but I think I have met people that don't do that and don't want to do that. That is very hard to understand, is it not? They're content to live what I would call a mediocre life. They don't really have the joy that they could have. They don't really have the blessings that they could have because they close their eyes to the good that is out there. We're not saying tonight that everything out there is good. We're saying just the opposite. There's a lot of bad out in the world, and so we have to deal with it. You have to deal with it. I have to deal with it. Sometimes it comes to individuals when they're very, very young. And it breaks our hearts when we see these little children, and they have cancer, like Skylar. And on top of that, he had to have his appendix taken out, and they couldn't do it immediately. If you have things like that, just imagine, and some of you have gone through things like that, so you don't have to imagine what the family goes through. Romans 8 and 28, the Apostle Paul said, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." God has a plan, and his plan was known really before the creation of mankind and from the foundation of the world. And he created mankind, and the purpose of it was it pleased him, number one, and number two, it demonstrates his great love and wisdom. We could say so much about it. Ultimately, God wants us to have immortality. That's a concept that's hard for me to grasp, that God actually wants to be our friend. Didn't Jesus say, "You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you"? John 15 and verse 14. So the Lord, he wants us to be with him someday. And we have these things to deal with down here that are difficult. But regardless of how bad the day is, if you read the Bible, you will be encouraged no matter what. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God is there. God is real. I appreciate the songs we've had tonight. We sang one of them this morning that we sang in a school for 2 years in a row, Monday through Friday. So we're very blessed to have these wonderful songs. So the Bible teaches us that we are to be as optimistic as possible. You have a Trials of Job. Read the entire book. And whatever you've been through, I don't think any of us can come close to the Trials of Job. Regardless, he lost 10 children in one day. He lost servants. He lost his wealth, all in one day. Then his health was taken. The devil was given everything but his life. Now, you know, if God gave that ability to the devil, it's going to be bad. His own friends, remember the three friends that were miserable comforters? They didn't know him. There's no telling what Job looked like. But in the end, everything was blessed. And if nothing else, if we think about that, that the end is going to come, and regardless of how much we suffer in this world, many suffer so many more trials with health. Now, we have been, I would say, Charlotte and I have been exceedingly blessed throughout life. Many of you have, with exceeding good health compared to so many other people. But we're not made to stay here. Don't expect it to go on till the end. We are made to get that gray head we talked about this morning for the older people. A Christian is optimistic because he knows that his Heavenly Father is the ruler of the universe. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. We believe in God. Ultimately, the child, faithful child of God, will be victorious and dwell in heaven for all eternity. I had some quotes by a man by the name of William George Jordan. We will read some of these quotes. We want to begin with this point in reference to optimism or being positive. It realizes that life is bigger than any single battle. How many battles have you had? You people that are older have had a lot of battles, haven't you? When I talk to some of our older members, I'm sort of like some in the congregation says, we are older now, but some of you are older than I am. I talked to a good brother that worshiped with us for several years here, Brother Ken Carpenter. I talked to him, I think it was yesterday, and he's 95 years old now. 95 years old, and he's still taking care of Fran, his wife. He loves this congregation. He said, never seen anything like this congregation. He would love to be here. He's out in Texas. But he's always optimistic. He's always optimistic. She's hanging in there. She's hanging there, doing a little bit better today. She was sick. I didn't know that she would make it while she was here. And they've been gone for years. So you have to be optimistic because you may have a battle, but you're going to win the war. I thought about World War II, and these statistics are relatively, or material that I will mention, relatively new. And if I miss something, well, you can correct it later. But you remember December the 7th, 1941. Yamamoto, who had studied in the United States of America, had a supreme plan to knock back the United States in the Pacific by an attack on Pearl Harbor. It should have never happened. Should have never happened. But it was devastating. It was devastating. 8 of 9 of our big battleships were there in the harbor. That's not counting all the other ships, the airplanes lined up. Hundreds of them were destroyed. Could have been worse. Hundreds of them were destroyed. The Japanese left their ports, a couple of ships at a time, and had a rendezvous point. And they left from that point on November the 26th. And they had to go a long way across the ocean. They did not take the regular channels because they were afraid they would be seen. They had orders to sink anything they saw. And they went across that ocean in a different way. They had to go through great storms. They lost a lot of men during these great storms. They were just thrown overboard from their ships. If you know anything about ships, they have watches and they have people on top of the ships. It was a very, very difficult journey. But they got roughly 275 miles north of the Hawaiian Islands. Some say less than that, but I'm just going by a military book. And again, gave the coordinates. Okay, the coordinates, hard to miss that. 6 o'clock in the morning, planes take off. Sunday morning. It was Monday morning in Japan. It was the next day in Japan. It was the 8th in Japan, but it was the 7th for us. And these planes take off sharply at 6 o'clock, and the first wave was 183 planes. And they had another wave. These planes, they were divided up. They had bombers. They had torpedo planes. They had their Zeros to protect them. The bombers carried 1,600-pound bombs. Can you imagine that hitting a ship? 1,600-pound bombs. And the torpedoes were 500-pound bombs. These planes came and they hit them about 5 minutes toward 5 minutes before 8 o'clock. We all realized they were about to have the flag ceremony. Actually, the church bells were going off, believe it or not. The church bells were going off to signal to people it was time to gather together to worship. And these planes hit, and just, I can't imagine the devastation, the death, the blood. About 2,000 plus are slain, and you have citizens in the city itself that died from all of the fighting going on. It's just catastrophic. I don't have words to describe it. But I want to tell you what happened 6 months later. 6 months later, the Japanese decide that they're going to finish us off. And they're going to attack a little island called Midway. And then they're going to use that for a base to go to Australia and other places and hit the United States. We found out about it. We were ready for them. You see, here's the good thing. I will tell you some good things about Pearl Harbor. and the people that know and study about it, this is what they're looking for. They're looking for all of this devastation. Guess what? They did not destroy the fuel that was stored there. They had all of their fuel. So they could repair their ships and get out there on the sea. They did not destroy that all that fuel. And not only that, but the aircraft carriers. Aircraft carriers just happened to be out there at sea when this took place. So we have a battle at Midway, and I'm going to just kind of bring it to a conclusion. It happened June the 6th and June the 7th. And when it was all over, four of those six aircraft carriers that attacked Pearl Harbor went down to the bottom of the sea. They lost several thousand men, and among them some of the very best of pilots that they could ever have. They could never replace them. And the whole war was changed around at that time. That's the way life is. We have lose battles. Sometimes it doesn't look good. I'm certain that Job, who wished that he had not been born, felt like he's losing that battle. But God was good, wasn't he? God's always good. Romans 8 and 31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? We know that God is for us. God is for his children. In the most difficult times, God is still with us. God's still for us, like we studied this morning. And I thought Brother Tom did so excellent with his lesson. God's not going to leave us, and God's not going to forsake us. Deuteronomy 31 and 6, before they went into the land of Canaan, be strong and of a good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them. Does God really mean that, huh? Is that just kind of made up, you know, don't be afraid, don't have any fear? God just kind of make that, or is that possible? For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee, he will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Joshua was told in the first chapter, he'll not fail thee nor forsake thee. We studied this morning from Chronicles. Solomon was told, and the ideal was, he'll not fail thee nor forsake thee. You're going to get down to the end. He actually was talking about God's not going to fail you during this time of building the temple. You're going to be able to do it. But Brother Tom was right. Whenever God said that, he's not, but he's going to be with us. But Solomon, when he abandoned God, why, then he wasn't with God. God wants us to live right. In Psalm 27 and 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. It takes a lot of effort to be patient, doesn't it? Patience is hard to come by, but it's good to have, isn't it? I usually ask and talk about a lesson like this. Anybody here got more patience than you need? Raise your hand. I don't think anybody has more than they need. But it's very good and useful, because Jesus said in Luke chapter 19, in your patience possess ye your souls. So there's a sense in which, you know, you've got to have, in Hebrews chapter 10, you've got to have this steadfastness, persistence, patience. In the worst of circumstances, you're going to see these. Just remember that you can even lose a battle and win the war. So the Bible teaches we put on the whole armor of God. We could study that. One time, I think we had five or six lessons in a row. We probably need to come back to them, but in Ephesians 6 and verses 10 and 11, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. In the Lord, in the power of his might, not our might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The world just dismisses the devil, doesn't it, generally? I've noticed that we do have a few individuals in the news. And this is just, in my judgment, has been fairly recent. But we've had some in the news now. And when they see some of these things happening, even by some of these leaders in our nation, they'll say, that's evil. That's kind of, you don't hear that a lot, do you? They're finally recognizing, at least some, that there's evil in this world. That's from the devil. God is good. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God is the author of all the good. The devil brings all these evil things into the world. And he's going to vex you. He's going to try you. You're going to have difficulties. But God is with you. God is with you. In Psalm 31 and 24, and I do encourage you, if you're going through these circumstances now. In fact, I know that some of you are, okay? And some of you probably are, and I don't know that. Preachers are not omniscient, right? Psalm 31, 24. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. I like that. So you just be of courage. You be patient. God will give you strength. I think all of us know Audrey. We might have visitors here that don't know her. But the doctors told her weeks and weeks and weeks ago, we can't do anything else for you. She gets an infection. She's had cancer for I don't know how long. She gets an infection. It's down by her heart. They wait a time period. And then they finally decide to go in there. I'm not criticizing them. They have their reasons, I'm certain. Maybe it's providential. But they go in there and they do this surgery. And it's just about to get into her heart and kill her. But they get it out. She got a pacemaker that's not doing right. I talked to her a few days ago. And she said it was just so erratic and that they didn't know what was going on. Said she had, they brought six doctors in there one morning when it was going crazy. But they just now took that pacemaker out like yesterday or whatever when she came home this week, this past week. I'm going to share with you something that I think is we will all take to our grave, I hope. I don't think she would mind. But I went over to see her after she got home. I was just hoping she could make it to the door because I called Randy. He was at work, evidently. He wasn't home. His car was gone anyway. She looked at me. She said, I don't know why I'm alive. She said, I just can't figure it out. She said, God must have a purpose for me. I will never forget that. And I've been thinking about that around the clock. And you know what? I'm going to tell her, Lord willing, next time I see her, I know at least part of the answer to that is for us. Now, I told some members tonight, if you were worried about dying, you had not been paying attention to Audrey. Because God has given her strength that I have never seen in 75 years. So we don't need to be worrying about all these things. I read this statement, our time is kind of fleeting. With true optimism, we can face poverty without permitting it to harden us. Some of you have dealt with poverty. If you haven't, that's a big one. We can meet trial and sorrow and remain calm and unworried. Now, that's very hard to do. Stand bravely when we do not see the way to walk. That's true. We can let the glow of optimism so warm our soul that we remain simple, strong, sincere, and unruffled despite any environment. That's difficult to do, but the thing is we're talking about tonight is do the best you can. And remember that it's not all decided down here. It's not all decided down here. We thus may conquer adverse conditions by making them powerless to harm us when we are unable to change them. And that's one of the most difficult things in life to do. You can't change everybody, can you? Matter of fact, that's not your job. My job is not to change you. My job is to preach the gospel. It's your job to change yourself. And that's true of our families, our loved ones, our neighbors and friends. You can't change them. There are just some people that are so stubborn, that they are not going to change, and that they're going to go to their grave and face God in judgment because they will not change. You can't do anything about that. You just have to accept it. So he says, optimism is the armor of brave souls who fight conditions and never surrender to domination by the darker side of life that dares to daunt them. Romans 8 and verse 18, Paul says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Brother Michael used to be our song leader. And I remember talking to Michael, and I looked up that word reckon. That's an accounting term, you know. We're getting close to tax time, right? And somebody, maybe you do your own. I'm going to get someone. I have done on a rare occasion done my own, but I'm not going to do it. Okay, I like that. I pay somebody or get a certified accountant, but get that right. And that's reckoning is like doing accounting. So as if you're reckoning, you're thinking about it, and you got the sufferings of this present time, he says, they're not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. That's talking, as I would understand it, immortality in us. We're going to have an incorruptible body. You'd think everybody in the world would want to come to Christ, wouldn't you? I don't understand, like our community. You see what we have? You'd think people would flood to hear this message. All the things going on in the world, I do believe that they get bad enough that it's going to bring some people to their senses. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, beginning, Paul says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. The spirit can be renewed. You do that by trusting in God and in His strength. For our light affliction, think about Paul. And think about all the afflictions and troubles and beatings, everything that he went through, his imprisonments. It's just unbelievable what he went through. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Life is a moment. Worketh for us an exceeding and eternal weight of glory. On one side, he says, here's our troubles, here's all our troubles, here's our trials, here's our temptation, here's our afflictions, here's our persecution. On the other side, the scales turn away to glory. That's so much more. That's in the reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be revealed with the glory which shall be in us. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. This final point in passing. You know, you read these sermon books, they say, don't say that. I've never preached like those books anyway. I think you, brother, know it's different. Here's a quote. Optimism inspires a man to reduce all depressing effects to a minimum and to raise resistance to the maximum. So when you're confronted, and everybody in my judgment is confronted with depression. David Farr, one of the greatest preachers and greatest Christians and men that I've ever known, told me one time, he said, and he used my name, he said, Dan, sometimes you do need help. He said, sometimes you just can't handle it. And he must have had such a weight on him that he had to have professional help, he told me. I will never forget that. So that's not anything to be ashamed about, but the point is, you need to resist these depressing thoughts and discouragement by taking these scriptures that we have and more, especially Book of Psalms, but the words of Jesus. You're not going to get better than that, are you? You're not going to get better than that. 1 John 5, 4 and 5, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We sing that, don't we? Faith is the victory. I say this about every time that these verses are brought up. I just like to read that, you know. You have a victory with faith, no matter what goes on. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Everybody here that's a Christian believes and has confessed before men that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Now, if you haven't done that, why not? Why would you tarry? We're going to sing a beautiful song about Hark the Gentle Voice. Do you believe? And be baptized into Christ. If you've never come to the Lord, we encourage you, do something about it. Start living for the Lord. You can pray to God, trust God, love God, and God will, He will deliver you from this world. If you're an erring child of God, you come home as we stand and as we sing.